It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. It's Preparation Day. Why do we say Preparation Day? That's because this is the day before the Sabbath, my friend. The Bible will tell you, if you study it, that the earth was created in 6 days. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth. And the Bible tells us that the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning was the second day. And you read in Exodus chapter 16, that they made preparation for the Sabbath. They had to gather manna, and they gathered twice as much on Friday as they did on any other day. If they gathered twice as much any other day, it would breed worms and stink, but on Friday, it would carry over into the Sabbath, and there was no manna on the Sabbath. So the preparation day. This is a day to prepare for the Lord's holy Sabbath day. May God bless you. It's time for our opening prayer. At this time, see here. I don't see. If my wife is on, she can have our prayer. If she is not able to be on, then I'll do that. So I think I don't see her. So let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. We ask for the Spirit of the living God to fall afresh upon us. We ask for your mercies and kindness, and be with us this morning as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends, it's time for our opening song. That is, I Will Trust in the Lord. I'm sorry. It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
it's about time.
Amen. It's about time. And brothers and sisters, today we're going to use today as a day to get everybody all caught up. We have some people who may have missed some of our previous messages, but it's going to really get intricate and detailed as far as history, okay? So I want to make sure that we're caught up. I'm going to use today as an opportunity to do that. Now, we're in Daniel chapter 11, and we're actually in Daniel 11. We're discussing verses 4, and we might get into 5, but it's a good time to let's get all our bearings, and then we'll move forward because it's a lot of detail, okay? So that being said, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. I pray for the Holy Spirit to be with us and to guide us and lead us. And we thank you, Lord, and ask for your Holy Spirit to just teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. In the King James Version, we're memorizing a verse. What is that verse? It's Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. I should say verses, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Why? Because God is authenticated. You know, you walk in, let's say you're an atheist and you see Christianity and you say, man, these folks are crazy. Got Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, non-denominational, Roman Catholic, they claim, and just all these different things. And you look around and, you know, it looks like a big mess, okay? So how can we then authenticate the Bible? Well, and that was the devil's plan, that it look all confusing. But how can we authenticate the Bible? We let the Bible authenticate itself. The Bible says in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So God offers us many blessings. There's financial help in the Bible. The Bible tells us when we pay our tithe and offering that he rebukes the devourer. Okay, that's what the Bible says. Read it in Malachi 3. Okay, so if you are not having a good financial season, are you paying your tithe and offering, my brothers and sisters? And I'm not one of these prosperity gospels that say you need to sow a seed here. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. I am simply saying that it does work. It does work. And he opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing that we would not have room enough to receive. And so, you know, think about that. That's the financial part. And the Bible plan was that you couldn't even be in debt for more than 7 years. And the church helped the church itself. You know, the members helped each other and they couldn't keep each other in debt, so on and so forth. It wasn't the selfish Jewish things that we see sometimes. And I'm not trying to say every Jew is selfish. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that there has been some level of wrong dealings and selfishness, but in their economy, okay? That being said, the Bible has health counsels. And, of course, you know, we're big on that. We talk about the live-free lifestyle. It's a biblical lifestyle. Love God. Include temperance. Vital water. Eat healthy, fresh air, rest, exercise, rest, exercise, and enjoy sunlight. So my point is there's many health blessings in the Bible. But that's not necessarily how God authenticates himself. He doesn't authenticate himself with his awesome financial plan, his awesome health plan. There are basic Bible doctrines that are out there that make much more sense than what's out there in the world. It makes much more sense that if God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh and he blessed and sanctified that day, it just makes sense that that's the day of worship. And it was throughout all the Old Testament and it was throughout all the New Testament. The Roman Catholic Church came and changed that. Okay. So it makes sense. It makes sense that when you die, you don't go straight to heaven or hell, brothers and sisters. Why would you say that, Pastor? Because it would be a good thing, wouldn't it, to go straight to heaven? Well, if good people go straight to heaven, then bad people go straight to hell. That means they're burning now, and that means they would be burning longer than the devil himself. Well, why would you say that? Because the devil's not burning. Well, how can you prove that? Because he's bothering you. because he's bothering me. Okay? So we've made these doctrines up, even within Christianity. They're not in the Bible. So the point is, God has a plan where the dead don't know anything. When Jesus comes, the righteous rise up, and they are forever with the Lord. The wicked, except for a small group, stay dead, and there is a judgment. It's not the white throne judgment that most evangelicals tell you about. It's a judgment where the righteous sentence the wicked. People who are peers, homosexuals who got converted, know the power of that demon, and they will be merciful in their execution of a judgment of sentence against those who also were homosexual, drug addicts, liars, thieves who got converted. They know the power of Satan's powerful control, but they know that God, they are a testimony that God is more powerful than the devil. And this is who God will use to judge, along with Jesus Christ, who was also human, is also human, because he came and covered his divinity with humanity. That will forever be a part of him. And the only traces of sin, brothers and sisters, will be the nail marks in his hands, the nail prints in his feet, the piercing of his side. That will be the only mark. So if you want to say, would there be any defects or at least signs that there was ever sin, it won't be in my body. It won't be in your body. It will be in Christ's body. Isn't that a powerful, that shows the love of God. So there's many things, brothers and sisters. The Bible makes sense, but that's not how God authenticates himself. You see, God said, listen, if you really want to know who the true God is, you need to know that I can, at the very beginning, tell you what's going to happen in the end. That's how he authenticates himself. He says, I am God. There's none else. I am God. There's none like me. Well, how can I prove it? At the very beginning, I can tell you what's going to happen in the end. Okay? That would suggest that I'm in control. You see, that's what we really need to know. Who's in control of this crazy world? You know, brothers and sisters, please, please, please know this. Know this about me. I am neither Democrat nor Republican. Both of those parties have a combination of good and evil. Everything the Republicans talk about is not bad, and everything the Democrats talk about is not bad. It's just that everything the Republicans talk about is not good, and everything the Democrats talk about is not good, okay? So what I'm about to say, I just want you all to know I'm balanced. I'm not here, you know, but I will tell you, we are headed for apocalyptic times, brothers and sisters. Former President Trump kicked off his campaign in Waco, Texas. And when asked, Steve Bannon, who was once his campaign manager, you know, Steve Bannon actually got arrested, you know, for some things related to helping Trump and whatever. And so, and I'm not suggesting he's guilty. I'm just reminding you as to who he was. You've seen him in the news. When he was asked, why did Trump kick off his campaign in Waco? Steve Bannon responded and said, we're the Trump Davidians. That was his answer. We're the Trump Davidians. Okay? Now, I don't know if you know anything about the history of America and what has happened in Texas, but in Waco, Texas, some Seventh-day Adventists who were offshoot. When I say offshoot, I'm not talking about connecting to an organization. See, a lot of people get that wrong, that just because you're in an organization or not in an organization, that makes you an offshoot. That does not make you an offshoot. The word is the truth, brothers and sisters. Adventism was built upon truth. You had, let's go back to history, you had the patriots and prophets, okay? Then you had the nation of Israel. And then, which fell, okay, into sin by killing Christ. Then you had the Christians, which Paul predicted their fall in 2 Thessalonians 2. They become a falling away first, verses 2 and 3. And that was talking about Roman Catholicism. But Christianity, you know, the true Israelites became the true Christians. The false Israelites killed Christ. The true Israelites became the Christians. The Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church, took over Christianity, but the true Christians became the Protestants. Okay? The Protestants in the Great Awakening rejected continual growth in Bible truth, so the true Protestants became Adventists. Okay? And that's not bigotry. That's just, they just stopped following the Bible. See, the Protestant, you have to understand, people gave their lives to have a Bible. People gave their lives. People were executed for teaching their children the Lord's Prayer in English. You couldn't even, if you had the 23rd Psalm in your pocket, you would be executed by the Roman Catholic Church. It was a time that was worse than slavery of blacks. It was a time worse than the Holocaust against Jews. It was a time worse than any genocide we've ever seen. You know, even in slavery, they let you come to church. If you were black, you just had to sit up in the balcony, okay, but you could come to church, okay? But in Roman Catholicism, you couldn't even know the Bible. The Bible was spoken in Latin, and only the priest did it during Mass. So you just had to follow their traditions of whatever they told you to do, how much money they told you had to give, and so on and so forth, okay? So what am I saying? As we move into Adventism, the true offshoots are those who leave the message, not those who leave an organization. And that is very, very well misunderstood. Okay? You're not going to find the popular teaching that it has to do with whether you're in an organization or not. You're not going to find that in the Bible. You're not, because if the organization would be the standard, then the Jews would be the chosen people continually, even the ones who murdered Christ. If the organization would be the gold standard, then the Roman Catholic Church should be what we go back to. If the organization, brothers and sisters, was the standard, then we should leave Sabbath keeping and truth and go back to other churches that don't teach truth. God is a consistent God. I'm not telling you to leave anything. I'm just simply telling you, follow Jesus. But I am saying that when you think of this concept of offshoot, we don't generally have it right. It doesn't bear it in history, and neither is it consistent in our time today. So a true offshoot, brothers and sisters, can be a conference president. A true offshoot can be a general conference president. A true offshoot can be anybody that teaches error. That's offshoot, because God is looking for those who follow truth, okay? His people are those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus, all right? So I want to go back to our talk. There is a group of Seventh-day Adventists called Davidian Adventists, okay? And they believe that a man arose. His name was Victor Hautef. And he gave some denunciations against the organization. They had gone away from, and it is true, they had gone away from much of the spirit of prophecy. And so in their diet and dress and how they worshiped and just things had changed. But he was a false prophet, and he took writings from Jeremiah and Ezekiel and even some of the minor prophets, Joel and Amos and Obadiah, and he put a modern twist and interpretation on it. And so he basically, with that modern twist and interpretation, said that in Ezekiel 9, when there's a great slaughter, you know, you'll see the man with the writer's ink horn going in and putting a mark on the foreheads of those who sigh and cry for the abominations. And then after that, six men with slaughter weapons came, and they actually slaughtered the people. And God said, begin with my house. Okay. And so a lot of people, the Davidians, believe that that represents a literal slaughter of Adventists and those who didn't accept their offshoot message. That's what they believe. Now, I have friends today that are Davidian. I've studied with them. They just can't see it. But the bottom line is most Davidians believe that the angel of the Lord does that slaughter. But there was a group of Davidians down in Waco, okay, that believed that human beings would be instruments of the slaughter. That's why David Koresh was a gun dealer. That's why they were a ministry coming aside, and they were gun traders because they were arming themselves, okay? Now, it is my belief that God intervened because I do believe they would have opened fire probably at a general conference or something of that nature, and God saw through that and said, it's not time yet. The four angels holding back the four winds need to keep holding them back because all the servants aren't sealed yet in their forehead. And I believe that God let the government overstep, although the government did overstep, what you heard on TV back then is not the truth. They did overstep. Those people were murdered, brothers and sisters. There was a different, they were experimenting to try to see how they could use, you know, how much the American people would tolerate of this overreach of government, okay? And so they were murdered. I do believe that God allowed it because they were disobedient to the Bible and spirit of prophecy. And I believe that they would have done some things that would make our work very hard. So if a group of people who were a little different, maybe call themselves plant-based, you know, and whatever, and walked into a general conference session with automatic rifles and stuff and just started shooting up people, it would make it very difficult for self-supporting ministries, okay? So I believe that the Lord allowed it to happen, but I'm telling you, I saw personal footage before it was edited of them shooting fire into the building from the tanks. I saw that with my own eyes, and so that was not shown to the American people. They were shown an edited version, so I do believe the people were murdered. Now, my point being made is, Trump and his followers are saying they're the Trump Davidians, okay? So what you have is a mindset that is apocalyptic. And even in Waco, many of the people in Waco felt having their country, their city taken over by federal agents and all this kind of stuff. They didn't buy into this whole, you know, these people committed mass suicide type thing. They didn't buy into that. And so for him to go down and start in Waco, it is a statement that the government is corrupt, and I'm not saying it's not, and that we've got to take over by arms. He started his campaign in Waco, and his former campaign leader, Steve Bannon, said we are the Trump Davidians. Why do I bring this up? If we don't understand Bible prophecy, brothers and sisters, we're going to be in trouble. A lot of people think America's going to prosper. A lot of people think Israel's going to prosper. A lot of people think Islam is either going to prosper or not prosper or whatever. And there is things even in Daniel 11, I believe, that relate to some things happening over in the Middle East. And it's the last few verses, okay? But we're going to get into all of that. But we've got to get our bearings here. And it's going to be a lot of talk about the king of the north and the king of the south and these types of things. And so I want us to get our bearings. And so I just want to wake you up this morning. If you were asleep, I bet you're not asleep now as I'm talking about the Trump Davidians. And this is real. This is happening within recent days, that there are Americans arming themselves mentally for a showdown. And then, of course, you have the other side, the Democratic side, that you know, may believe properly in the peaceful transfer of power, but do believe that it's time to demoralize America and force people to accept that demoralization. You know, I went to the bathroom at a major event, and I actually went to the wrong bathroom. My wife went to the one side, it said women's, and I saw the next one, which was in, I didn't realize there were three, there was one in the middle. And I was like, man, you can't even get in, you got to push a button. And I looked, and hers said women. I looked to the right, it said men. And then in the middle, it said all genders. And you know how you see a woman in a skirt for the symbol of a woman's bathroom? I mean, an icon in a skirt as a woman's bathroom, and an icon in a in pants in a men's bathroom. Well, the right one side had pants and the other side had skirts, and it just said all genders. Okay. And so, you know, I thought that was very, very interesting. So we live in times, brothers and sisters, where, you know, we have problems on both sides of the aisle. We have to recognize this. And I'm just here to tell you, God is still in control. So what we're going to do in Daniel 11, as we, I just want to start reading, and then I want to focus on probably verse 4, and then we'll catch up, and then as we continue on, then we will be together. It says, also, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. So this is Gabriel, the angel Gabriel talking. Gabriel is mentioned in the previous chapter and the chapter before that, Daniel 8 and 9. And he was the one to come to give Daniel an understanding. Now, Daniel, if you go back to chapter 10, had read Jeremiah's writing, and the prophecy was that 70 years would be the time period of Israel's punishment by Babylon, and that after that they would be able to return. So he was reading these and understood by books, the Bible says, that time. So he's praying to God, confessing his sins. Lord, please help us to get back to our land so we can worship you aright. And he's seeing all this idolatry around him, and he wants to get back to the worship of the true God. So Gabriel was sent to give him understanding. And part of that understanding had to do with the 2300-day prophecy, which is in Daniel 8, 14. And then that prophecy started in, it was more explained in Daniel 9. 70 weeks were determined, and it gave, as the first part of that prophecy, the year Christ was baptized, the year Christ would die, and the year the gospel would go to the Gentiles, i.e., AD 27, AD 31, AD 34. So there's the fourth thing would be the cleansing of the sanctuary in that prophecy. So since the first three happened exactly the way God said, we can expect that the fourth would, and that would happen and end in 1844. Those of you who haven't been following us, Numbers 14:34 tells you when you read a Bible prophecy, you count each day as a year. So does Ezekiel 4:1-6. And so when you apply that principle, brothers and sisters, to time prophecy, you start in 457 B.C., Why do you start in 457 B.C.? Because there were three decrees by Persian kings that would help Israel. The first was by Darius. The second was by, the first was by Cyrus. I apologize. The second was by Darius, the Persian king. And the third, because you had Darius the Mede, the Persian king Darius. And then the third was Artaxerxes. How do we know Artaxerxes is the starting point? Because it's the only one that gave the power of restoration of the government. And the prophecy said, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince. There'll be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. That's 69 weeks. That's 483 years. So we don't count Cyrus. So I have people that try to debunk, people I used to pastor, they try to debunk the whole 70-week prophecy because they say it should have been started with Cyrus and that would give the wrong ending date. Well, you're wrong because the Bible said the prophecy would be from to restore and to build. And when you read in Ezra chapter 7, the actual declaration from Artaxerxes in 457, they had police powers, they had taxing powers, the priests could not be taxed. I mean, you could not bother them. Their whole restoration of government was declared in that decree. And that is not what Cyrus and Darius only allowed them to rebuild part of the city, maybe part of the temple for sure. Okay? So that's why we know. And so as we read Daniel 11, Darius the Mede that's talked about in Daniel 11:1, Gabriel is just saying, listen, even before now, I was with him. But if you go back to Daniel 10 and the first few verses, this is in the third year of Cyrus where this vision starts coming to Daniel. So we know that Daniel 11 is set in the context of the kingdom when Cyrus the Persian was leading out, okay, was ruling, okay? But Gabriel is just letting him know that I was even with Darius back when he conquered. And now I will show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be richer than they all. And by his strength and through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Now, you might not be a history buff. You might not even like history. That's okay. You need to ask God to give you some relish for it because it's important, because it authenticates God. How would we know the Bible was true unless we could validate what we just read? So if we already had Cyrus I'm sorry, Darius, and then came Cyrus. And in the third year of Cyrus is when this vision came. And then God tells Daniel through Gabriel that there shall yet be three kings. We would have to know who the three kings were after Cyrus. And they were Cambyses, okay? And he killed his brother, who was getting popular. He killed his brother Smerdis. And when he died, there was an imposter named False Smerdis. He killed, when Cambyses killed his brother, he was the first of these yet three kings shall arise. He killed his brother in secret. He didn't want people to know because that was kind of disgraceful. He killed his brother in secret and just tried to keep it secret. Maybe it made the people think he's off on some mission. Well, when he got a challenger who was False Smerdis, he was probably the person he hired to kill his brother, and he claimed to be his brother, okay? Well, Cambyses knew it wasn't true, and he had to admit, well, no, it can't be him because I killed him. So he came back. Actually, he died on his way back to reclaim his kingdom. But he was, False Smerdis was found to be an imposter. So he's not really counted, brothers and sisters. He was actually killed by Darius, the king, the Persian Darius, not Darius the Mede. And so you start with Cambyses, and then you skip False Smerdis because he was not really a king. He was an imposter, although he took it for a few months. Then you go to Darius, and then you go to Xerxes, okay? Now, it's interesting because Xerxes is who married Esther. So we have Bible history. We talk about that. And then it says the fourth king would be very rich, and by him he would stir up the realm of Grecia, okay? So that was Artaxerxes, okay? And Artaxerxes did do just that. He and his father, Xerxes, tried to conquer all of Greece. It was not successful. Now, there, at that point, the kingdom of Persia began to fall, so there was different kings that tried to keep it alive, but it was in a downfall. And so then the Bible gives us verse 3, and it says, and a mighty king shall stand up, that's Alexander the Great, in Greece. And he shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will, in verse 4. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. We're going to pick up on that verse, brothers and sisters. And before we close, just give you a little more information. So Alexander the Great died. He had a second in command. I think it was called Antiochus. But Antiochus was trying to capture the whole kingdom and take it from the other four generals. So the other four generals, Cassander, Ptolemy, Lysimachus, and Seleucus, they formed an alliance and they took out Antiochus, who was trying to take the kingdom all to himself. Okay? So the Bible says that it would be divided to the four winds of heaven, okay? Now, I can tell you that eventually, Seleucus pretty much conquered, took over the land of that Lysimachus had and the land that Cassander had, and you were pretty much left with the king of the north, which was the Seleucid dynasty, and the king of the south, which was the Ptolemaic dynasty. So you have Seleucus and Ptolemy. And they had successors and sons and grandsons and sons, so and so forth. So a lot of Daniel 11, of the first several verses that we'll get into starting tomorrow, pick up with the stories of the Egyptian-Syrian war. The Syrians were in the north. The Egyptians were in the south. Ptolemy and his dynasty was in the south. And Seleucus and his dynasty was in the north. Okay? So just before we close out, I want to share with you that this is all in Bible history and it's in human history. The Bible is right. Antiochus was killed by the league of Ptolemy, Seleucus, Lysimachus, and Cassander. And they were north, south, east, west. Eventually, and that's how it was divided. And then later, and that's what picked up in Daniel 11, Seleucus conquered Lysimachus and Cassander. And then you pretty much had the Syrians in the north and the Ptolemy group in the south. But I just want to give you more about the four winds. So we're in Daniel 11. They would, in verse 4, shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, the four generals. Go back now to Daniel 8, and when you look at verse 8, therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. You see, the Bible is very clear. In Daniel chapter 8, it doesn't start with the he-goat. It starts with a ram, okay? In verse 3, a ram which had two horns. That's Medo-Persia. It's got two horns. But then a he-goat would come with a notable horn and would kill it, would slam against it. But then that would have four notable ones which went toward the four winds of heaven. That's Cassander, Ptolemy, Lysimachus, and Seleucus. So you have it there. I just want you to see the Bible is consistent. You go back to Daniel 7, you had a beast that was a lion. That was Babylon. You had a bear raised up on one side. You have the, you know, with them, you have the Medo-Persia raised up on one side. I believe the Medes were stronger than the Persians, but sometimes I get that confused, so don't quote me on that. I need to get that right and always remember that. It could be the Persians were stronger than the Medes. But it had three ribs in its mouth, and that's because Medo-Persia conquered Libya, Egypt, and Babylon, okay? And then what happened after that? You had a leopard-like beast, and the leopard-like beast, let me find it. Verse 6, and after this I beheld, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. So you have the four again. And it also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. So brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to show you is, before it happened, hundreds of years, thousands of years before these things happened, the Bible predicted the rise of Babylon, the fall of Babylon, the rise of Medo-Persia, the fall of Medo-Persia, the rise of Greece with Alexander the Great as a notable horn in one verse, and maybe mentioned in another way in another verse. But he would come to his end. He died at the age of 32, drunk and stupid. We talked about that yesterday. And then his four generals took over. And so what is our theme that I'm asking you to memorize? Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 from the King James Version. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So the reason why we understand history today is because it's important that we are able to validate the Bible. So when a Muslim comes to us and says, you can't be right, your Bible speaks of encourages slavery or whatever, we say, no, it doesn't. But if they tell us the Bible is not true, we can show them these prophecies and ask them how much of this detail is in the Quran. And so you can, with unerring accuracy, Babylon fell. Medo-Persia took over. Greece took over. It was divided into four kingdoms. This is all history now, but when it was presented in the Bible, it hadn't all happened yet. And so that's why I'm saying, friends, this is all very, very important. So I pray that you'll be blessed as you study. And at this point in time, starting tomorrow, don't miss a day. It's going to be a lot of detail. The king of the north with the king of the south. We're going to give you names. We're going to show you who married who. We're going to show you why, who killed who, how it happened, the jealousies involved. If you think you had to watch Days of Our Lives and As the World Turns to understand the struggles of humanity, brothers and sisters, it's all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. So I pray that from moving forward now, as we move forward from the pivotal point of the four kingdoms, which will pretty much peter down to two, this picks up with verse 5 of Daniel 11. And we'll do that on tomorrow morning. So you want to really stay tuned so you can follow the spiritual drama. Praise God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for being in control. Thank you for even telling us how we are in Bible prophecy, for the United States is in Bible prophecy. And it is prophesied, Father, to come to ruin. We see the ruinous foundation in a Republican Party, in a Democratic Party, demoralizing and lying and fighting against each other, and no peaceful transfers of power, and saying a man can marry a woman, and all of these things. We see a false movement to protect Israel, and we don't realize that it's prophesied in the Bible. They're, well, I won't even spill the beans yet, but they are prophesied in the Bible, even in Daniel 11. So I thank you, Lord. You're going to show us more about Islam in this chapter. You're going to show us more about all of the things that are going to happen, and we see the fruits of them, the beginnings of them. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you bless us as we continue our study. Amen. Okay, my brothers and sisters, we're going to take a little break. We'll come back and hear from Sister Lenny, and she's going to be sharing with us on the subject, what can affect our digestion. The Torso Song is next. Stay tuned.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Sorsum, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, the next voice you will hear will be Sister Lenny. And she's going to be sharing with us what can affect our digestion. Uh-oh, wrong person. Hold on. All right, I got your mic open now, Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Friday. What can affect our digestion? Stress and tension. These have a huge impact on digestive health. When we feel stress, the body enters a fight-or-flight mode. This takes blood and circulation away from the digestive tract and into the muscles and brain so that the arms can fight, the legs can run, and the head think. When the digestive tract has a drastically reduced blood supply, it produces fewer digestive enzymes. This result is that food is not properly broken down and digested in the stomach and small intestine, so that when it eventually enters the large intestine, it sits there rotting and fermenting and not being digested, causing bloating, discomfort, and irritation to the lining of the bowels. Poor liver function, including ineffective removal of toxins by the liver and dehydration, both of which can greatly increase the time it takes to move food and stool through the small and large intestines, just add to the problem. The longer waste sits in the large intestine, the greater the chance that you will reabsorb from the stool the very toxins you're trying to eliminate. A colon cleanser is usually needed because the digestive system is compromised. Taking slippery elm, herbs, and cabbage juice, also you can add a digestive enzyme with propane and bromelain. More importantly, we have to stop breaking the laws of health, such as eating between meals, drinking with meals, eating too late or too much, and eating animal products. This morning's health segment is coming from Overcome Disease a Refreshing Way, page 147 to 148, and Clean Up Your Diet, page 82. If we use the live-free lifestyle, we can avoid the stress and tension on our digestive system. Thank you so much, and take good care of yourselves and others. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, my brothers and sisters, it's time now for us to do roll call. And we start with Facebook. We've got Sister Vicky out of Georgia saying good morning and happy preparation day. We've got Brother Peyton saying good morning and happy preparation day out of North Carolina. We've got Sister Angela out of South Carolina. We've got Sister Gloria out of Virginia saying good morning to all. We've got Sister Tyvina in Maryland. We've got Brother Brian from the country of Kenya saying good morning to all. On the call, we have Ohio. We have Ohio again. We have Ohio again. We have Alabama. We have Pennsylvania. We have Maryland. We have Delaware and Delaware and Delaware and Delaware again. And we have New Jersey. We have Oklahoma. We have Oklahoma again. We have New York. We have, I believe, New Jersey again. And we have Georgia. Welcome all. And the phone lines are open. We've got a good 7 minutes. That's plenty of time to hear from you. And we've got Ohio on the line already. We'll take that call at this time. Good morning. God bless you this morning.
Hey, brother. This is just, I'm just so excited about, you know, the teaching of this. I want to definitely be up tomorrow and early in the morning so I can get the rest of this as you teach. But I just want to say that whatever you guys have done during the time that you know you were off for 3 days, this technology is excellent. I mean, it is coming through clear and clear on this phone that I have. And this is not one of my more expensive phones, but I just want to commend you. However you guys have arranged this technology, it is just excellent. I mean, it's just like you're in the next room. It is it's just clear and clear. And I'm telling you, may the Lord, you know, bless you, brother. Oh, boy, I have so much to say, but I just want to give someone else that time to say it. But I'm enjoying this technology. It is so clear. It's a more wonderful pastor. Keep on doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Brother Walking John. God bless you. Thank you so much. And we'll be praying for you, continuing to keep you in prayer.
Oh, I really appreciate that. And may the Lord bless many that are listening. But this is great teaching and some things I'd like to ask. But we'll get together as time goes on. The funeral was okay. But now it's
all right.
You just get over the money, as always. You know, whenever there's money involved in it, there's a death. You know, there's always all these dollars, no matter how much you get, you can still love one another. But that's right. The Lord is giving to us. Okay. Thank you again.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. We're keeping you and your family in prayer at this difficult time. All right. We're going to go to Sister Desiree at this time. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and Sister Maria. I just wanted to say good morning to everybody and have a preparation day and have a God bless weekend.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
Thank you.
You know, sometimes it's good just to have you ever spoken to somebody, and just because you spoke to them, it kind of shocked them. You say, hi, how are you? That's just what you did. Sis. You just kind of surprised us, just to gave us a beautiful salutation to have preparation day. We thank God for that. Thank God for that. We need to do more of that, brothers and sisters. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you want to shock somebody, brothers and sisters, just for no reason apparent, but just that you care. Just let them know you love them. Say hello. Ask how they're doing, you know. I went to the post office. Some ladies were coming through, and I just stopped and opened the door for them. They looked like they were shocked, like that was strange behavior, and it probably is strange behavior these days. But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that we've got to be different than the world. All right, we're going to take Sister Gail. Praise God. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Some things are infectious, so I, too, want to say good morning to everyone and praise
Amen.
God from whom all blessings flow. Happy Preparation Day. I've enjoyed being a part of this ministry now for about 7 months. And again, Amen. To God be the glory for the good teaching and the sweet fellowship. Thank you.
Praise God. Amen. 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 Thank you. And I apologize. I opened up your microphone thinking it was Sister Lenny, and you're so gracious. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right, friends. Who would be next? If there is anyone that wants to share anything else, we are on Sabbath morning early, and then we're also doing our series on physiology from the Bible. And I don't want to quote it yet. I haven't looked at my notes, but I think it's the urinary system. I'm not even going to take a look. I think it's the urinary system is what we'll be talking about. We got Sister Odessa on the line. Good morning, Sister Odessa.
Good morning, Pastor and Sister Maria and everyone that's on the line. It's just truly a blessing this morning to hear the message, Pastor. I tell you, I feel like, I feel like Mary when she was sitting at the feet of Jesus and just listening to what Jesus had to say. And it's just so inspiring, and I love it. And, I mean, I could just listen to your message every day. But I just want to thank you, and thank God they changed my schedule, so I have to be at work at 5 a.m. in the morning. So sometimes I might come on for about 10 or 15 minutes. Before I go in and clock in. But I just want to thank you for the message. I really miss you all. And, you know, I look back on when I first started listening to the message, and it's been almost going on 8 years now. And I just want to thank you. And I just really wish I could be on every day. But thank you all so much, and God bless you. And also, Sister Lenny, thank you for that message this morning. It hit home. I know sometimes I'm eating between meals, and I work in food service, so it's kind of hard. But I just thank the Lord. God bless you all, and just continue to keep me in prayer. Have a wonderful day, Preparation Day.
Amen. Thank you, sis. Thank you. At this time, we'll ask my wife, Undreamed Up, to have our prayer. We want to remember. I will tell you all this because we hadn't given an update. We have some friends that are in jail, and you all know we've been praying for them. Baji and Daphne are their names, and we've been praying for Baji and Daphne. And so what ended up happening was that they recognized how they handled the situation was not correct. So in other words, there were some things they did that would be wrong against the law, minor, but it was still wrong. And so they couldn't go and say, you know, I'm totally innocent, because they did do some things. But the main things that landed them there, the more serious charges, they are innocent of. And so they did plead guilty because they did something. And so where we stand right now is I do believe the Lord wants me to at least ask if I can speak to the judge. And so we need to pray that God soften his heart. And they say he's a unjust judge. That's what they say. So, but guess what? There's a story in the Bible named Esther. And the Spirit of the Lord had that king hold out the golden scepter. And so the Lord can deal with unjust judges. You have the story in the Bible. And, you know, they are much better at helping society not having to go to prison. We're just going to ask God if it's his will that they have a probation to be able to serve the community. And that's our prayer. So that's the where we stand right now with the prayer request, that they be released so they can serve the community. They were serving the community before they went in, and we want to tell the judge about that. So just pray that I will be making a call this morning. So if you would double up on your prayers, I'll be making a call this morning to see if I can get an appointment with the judge. If you would just keep that in prayer, I appreciate it. All right. That being said, my wife Undreamed Of will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship and fellowship. We thank you that your word is true, and we pray that your spirit will continue to teach us the things that we need to know as we go further into our study. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Lord, so we'll be able to share it with others. We put forth the petitions that have been requested. We ask, Lord, that you would please continue to bless our dear sister, Odessa. We know that she has been faithful listening to this broadcast over the past 8 years or so, and we just thank you, Lord, for her commitment, her dedication, and the efforts that have been made and her being able to do so. And we pray that you would be with her in work, and we ask, Lord, that you will get her to a place where she would be able to do ministry full-time. We know that it's ultimately her desire and her goal in life, and we pray that you will open up the opportunity for that to be a success for her. And we pray, Lord, that you will be with our dear brother and his family. We know that he lost a dear sister, and we just pray that you will continue to bring comfort and peace and rest and strength and harmony to the family at their time of need. And we just ask that they will continue to look to the Savior who is able to do all that we can think or ask. And we pray, Lord, that you will be with Daphne and Baji as they continue in their bondage. We pray that you will allow for the judge to be able to speak to my husband and to seek another way of their sentencing, to be able to allow them to be free to do your work and to be able to handle the affairs of their family. And we pray that their strength will grow stronger and that their faith will not falter in any way. We ask that you would bless everyone who has participated this morning. We know that each has silent requests, and we just pray that as those are put forth, that you will answer them in accordance with your perfect will. And we want to pray for other petitions that have gone forth this week. We know that there are still things that you are working out and working through in each life. And we thank you for being a God who hears all prayers and answers them on your perfect timing. All things are prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, we do our part in faith. God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. Happy Preparation Day, and God bless you.
Amen. Closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.